Parents, teachers, and advocates for school districts that have received disproportionate funding gathered in the Capitol building on Thursday in hopes of securing much-needed funding before the governor's budget is finalized on April 2nd. Parents described how children young as four have hour-long bus rides due to consolidation, classrooms established in basements, and inadequate services for English learners. Ossining has a robust Latin American community, and these schools in low to middle income and minority districts have seen huge increases in enrollment as families move out of New York City to more affordable places like Westchester. At the same time, school funding continues to be determined from outdated distribution models based on outdated census data.
Due to budget constraints, Ossining has cut 100 teaching positions, hour-long bus rides home for children as long as 4 years old, space limitations requiring teaching to happen on closets and hallways and stages, one guidance counselor for 400 kids. Our ELL and special needs children living in poverty need more support. This is unacceptable. With a $4.5 million deficit, I fear what's next. We cannot wait until the next budget season. There is no more time for Ossining. Governor Cuomo, I beg you, do not punish the students of Ossining. They have already been victims of politics for too long, and it needs to end this year. Our community is changing as a result. We are at a breaking point. Dollars should follow students. Do not forget about the children of Ossining schools and the harmed suburban five.
It's not a comfortable conversation to have to talk to my daughter that maybe she doesn't matter as much to some people as other people matter. When the school district right next to us may be getting a lot more money and may be opening an indoor playground, but meanwhile, she doesn't even have safety in her bus when she has to ride 45 minutes to go to school. It's frustrating to know as a district that's 79% people of color that we don't matter as much because of that. Because we might not be able to contribute, and because there is a history of institutional and educational and systemic racism that is affecting me and affecting the daughter that I adore.
We believe that we do have the right of a fair education, and with the funds that we're getting, we're not getting close to it. Our Hispanic community of students is about 52%, and we do have a very high percentage number in free and reduced lunch students as well. And we are a big part of that population. And so if we don't have enough funding for support for ENL, for reading, for writing, then we're gonna do not so good in the SATs, and where our future is gonna be a little bit more difficult than some of our neighbors.
3 hour trip today from Glen Cove School District to represent students and families in Glen Cove. In our district, we are seeing rising student enrollment. We're having children educated in basements and closets. Around us are getting more than equitable funding. We're not getting our fair share.
We've got to end the era of relying on 10-year-old census data, 10-year-old formulas. We need to bring some reality and some common sense back into the education process. We need to end the inequity and the inequality in funding. What we see is too often that the schools that are shortchanged are predominantly communities of color, and that's got to change.
Yes. David Carlucci, C-A-R-L-U-C-C-I. I represent Westchester and Rockland counties in the state senate. Unfortunately, the foundation aid formula has been frozen for a decade now, and districts like Ossining have seen an increase in enrollment, an increase in poverty, an increase in English language learners. And so the need has increased while the funding has stayed flat. And that's meant per pupil, the number has declined drastically because enrollment has increased. It seems like Albany, it seems like the education department has just been, it's fallen on deaf ears that they're just thinking that we can keep the status quo. Well, the status quo is not working. It's not working for thousands of our children, and we need to change it, and we've got to do it now.
Why are they using 10-year-old census data?
Mysteries of the mind. To me, it's like, it makes absolutely no sense. It's absolutely shameful, the fact that money that should be going to our children is not. When you have high increases of poverty, they need more support. That's just not happening. So I think we have this idea that there's not poverty in the suburbs. Well, there is. It's growing at a rapid pace. I have a multitude of districts that I serve, and we see unique issues in each. But one of the things that we're seeing in the suburbs is this increase in poverty, this increase in English language learners, and we have to meet them where they are. And under the current funding formula the governor's put out, it just doesn't do that. It will shortchange our children. There's no question about it. So the parents that are here today are absolutely right. And I just, my hat goes off to them for them to come up here and to be standing in one voice saying, enough is enough. We have to update the funding formula. We have a pathway to do it. Let's put our money where our mouth is. We know that funding our children's education is one of the most important things we can do as a state, so let's get to it.
And which school districts are represented here today?
Well, we have the Harm Suburban 5 that we've indicated have indications that are the same. They have increased level of students. Enrollment has increased. Poverty has increased. English language learners have increased. And the combined wealth ratio has decreased. That means it's a recipe for disaster in terms of funding to the school districts. And so we have Austining, Port Chester, Glen Cove, Westbury that are all represented here today.
And what are the demographics of these school districts?
Yeah, so these districts are in suburban districts, many times surrounded by affluent districts. But these are pockets of poverty where we've seen an increase. People can't afford New York City. They're moving up to Westchester. They're moving to Rockland County. And they're finding a little bit more affordable housing. But they're cramming in. We have new English language learners, new immigrant population that's moving to Westchester, to Rockland County. And those are really the shared demographics. And in a nutshell, it's about suburban poverty. That's what the Harm Suburban 5 is about. It's about addressing the issues of poverty in its real form, in what we see is happening on the ground, in the suburbs. It's real, it's present, and we've got to address it. So what we need to do is we need to fully fund foundation aid. We need a full phase-in. We want a three-year phase-in, so $1.2 billion this year. And then on top of that, for the Harm Suburban 5, we want an accelerated tier. So Austining, Port Chester would fall into this tier that would accelerate their aid. We believe by fully funding foundation aid, that will help all of our districts. But we need extra help to these districts that have been left behind.
And we haven't been able to meet the needs of all kids relative to services, whether it's clinical staff needs, AIS services, and reading support that many of our kids have been identified in needing, class size efforts across the district. So, the truth is that universally we can find gaps in terms of where we should be providing more services for our kids. The other part of it, too, is that we're seeing increasing enrollment in our district in just a 10-year span. We've gained 1,000 students. And so keeping up with the needs relative to just number of students has been challenging when we're not necessarily receiving the appropriate level of state funding.
How does it directly affect these students?
Well, the quality of the services is diminished when we can't, we don't have the resources that we should be providing. If there's higher class size, the personalization of education is impacted, and meaning that those relationships that teachers have and their ability to differentiate instruction for our kids.
What's the average student-to-teacher ratio?
It varies per class, but, we've had some classes in their high, nearing 30 students per class. So the reality is that all those should be much lower. They should be in the, mid, if not lower, 20s, if anything else, so that, again, there's appropriate relationships and that teachers can adequately meet the needs of kids.
And they mentioned that some students are on the bus for as long as an hour.
Yeah, that's a good point because we've consolidated a lot of routes. We've had more students put on buses. So some students are on the bus for the equivalent of 45 minutes to an hour. And these are young children. These are children that we want to get home as soon as possible, but because of needs and funding, we can't support the additional busing.
What are some other measures that you've had to take as far as consolidating or ways of cutting costs?
Yeah, so we've worked hard over the years of consolidating. We changed health insurance plans, transportation providers. We've worked with our unions to come up with fiscally responsible contracts. We've refinanced bonds. And we've cut positions. Those are the so we basically have done most everything to really seek to address the needs of kids without trying to impact classrooms. But we're at the tipping point right now. There's no more that we can do. We've gone to every potential option that we know of, and now it's really it's a matter of getting state aid. Right now, we all stand in a position of making sure that the funds are distributed equitably across the state, and more specifically for districts that are seeing increase in enrollment and higher needs, like the Austin School District.
That was Jessica Vecchiarelli, Rodolfo Moran, Marcella Levin, joined by Austining School Superintendent Raymond Sanchez, New York State Senators David Carlucci and Peter Harcum. And for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Alexis Goldsmith.